This is ESPN 1000, WMVP WSHE HD2 Chicago, a Good Karma Brands radio station.
Now, back to more Waddle and Sylvie, live from the Old National Bank State Street Studio.
On Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
Thank you to Black and Abdallah, as always. Thank you to Connor McKnight and Mike North. And most importantly, thank you for listening, calling, and participating. Everybody in the Twitch chat, it was lively today. Thanks for sharing these stories of ayahuasca. Chris, I found Chris interesting. I'm not going to do it myself, but it was interesting to talk to Chris about his ayahuasca experience.
I'm going
to
stick with the booze.
I'd like to go to Peru. I just need to skip the ayahuasca. And I'm with you, Tommy. I'm sure we're slowly killing our livers, but I'll stick to whiskey.
I'm going to stick with shrooms.
Yeah, and Yurko's going to stick with the shrooms.
Does your liver, or is that just your lungs? Your lungs can redo something.
We're killing our livers.
Really?
Yeah, we're killing.
I'm sure you can get it.
My doctor said 2 drinks a day, you're fine. What do you mean?
I need a different doctor.
Come on!
Find
a different doctor.
Or at least have yourself a potential liver donor on layaway.
I'm really excited.
Ready to go.
It's so funny. When I had, I was having...
Was your Mickey Mantle's doctor? I mean...
I'm just saying, two years ago, I came home from South Carolina. I was having just like irregular heartbeats. Mm-hmm. Nothing was really, but it was bothersome. Mm. You know, it was bothersome. It wasn't like rapid. It was just my heart would skip a beat every now and again.
Yeah.
I don't know why you're laughing, but there's a moral to this story.
It's amazing.
This is moral to the story.
What is it?
So I went through the whole process, and I wore the chest monitor and all that stuff. Oh, yeah, for a week.
Wow. I remember when he was walking around with it.
I was just like, you know, this is a pain in the ass. Sometimes you just get, you know, your heart flutters.
Yeah,
it gets
out
of beat sometimes.
Sure.
So afterwards, I got all the tests back. And he was an English guy. He was a soccer player.
Your doctor's an Englishman?
Yeah. He was a cardiologist.
Your doctor was a soccer player?
No, he was a soccer fan. He was a soccer player when he was younger and everything. He's an English guy. Big guy. And he just said to me, he was a man of very few words.
Yeah?
Your test came back. You're good.
You're good?
I said, really? He goes, how old are you, Tom? At the time, I go, I'm 53. He goes,
53.
Act like it. And click the phone.
Really?
Yeah, basically, it was like, okay, if you have any problems, call me back.
All right. Okay.
Act like it, because I, you know, I mean, I'd gone
you
through,
were
I just came back
in South
from,
Carolina?
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, I drank 10 beers a day for 7 days, and then drove home 17 hours.
The great white Tom Waddle, ladies and gentlemen.
And he's like, amazing. And his simple advice was,
act your age.
Your test came back fine.
Yeah.
Act how old are you? 53. Act like it.
All right. Yeah. Well, that's good advice. Yeah. It is time for Crosstalk, brought to you by Club Hawthorne. Put a little more action into your weekend at one of Hawthorne's 16 newly remodeled betting bars, or bet the races from home or on the go with the Club Hawthorne mobile wagering app. We've lost Yurko.
Probably
going to lose Meller soon.
I already told Waddle
going
in. You two are carrying this Crosstalk as the Premier League is underway.
The Premiership, the 2022-2023 season.
Is this preseason or regular season?
This is the first match of the year.
This is the first match of the year. It'll
Arsenal,
go all the way,
Palace.
What, till next May, guys?
It's a London.
There's no way Crystal Palace is a team. That is a joint.
No.
That's a place.
This is a London derby.
Are they starting early because they have to take a break?
Yes.
Because they have to take the World Cup break?
Correct.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. So about 2 weeks earlier.
Because I was going to say, this feels early.
It is. It's 2 weeks earlier than they normally start.
Johnny's eyes are glazed over like he's just... He's just had himself an experience.
The Gunners. Is that the Gunners?
It is. The Arsenal Gunners.
A golden opportunity.
Transferring in more Man City players this year for Miguel Arteta.
By the way, guys, I had this soccer story that I wanted to bring to your attention.
Well, thank heavens.
Yes.
This is a serious soccer story.
Very noteworthy.
I forgot to bring this to your attention, but considering the EPL is up and going again. Oh, just what? Nottingham Forest. Do you guys know that team?
Yes.
They have just been promoted to the EPL.
They're called the Robin Hoods.
Nottingham Forest attempting to sign Jizz Hornkamp.
Yes.
Right. Yeah.
Yes.
Dutch striker Jizz Hornkamp.
Yeah. What a player.
They've been trying to sign him, a 24-year-old forward from Willem II.
They call this a juicy proclamation right there.
Mm-hmm. Jizz Hornkamp.
Is he really a Jazz Chisholm?
I don't know, but Meller was
going to sign him.
Meller was excited. I hear he's a handful of a player out there on the pitch.
Uh-huh. Yeah. The transfer window is still open for a couple more weeks.
If they don't get him, it'll be tough to swallow.
It will be, no doubt about that. It would be a very disappointing failure.
I just hurt myself. No.
You're off next week.
I'll be your.
We can't read the news now.
Man, I just got a
can't read the news. What's going on, guys? Baxter,
Eric, we'll see you in a week.
How come somebody can take it deep and all of a sudden I just make an innocent statement?
Stop, I'm gonna lose it.
I hear he's a sticky defender.
I told you he was a handful.
Although primarily a forward, he has played some right back, so you may be onto something, Abdallah.
That's right.
Do you think he takes abuse in his home country? Is it the vernacular is totally different?
I would hope it's totally different.
Because he's different, right?
His name's Yiz.
Black is running out of the studio.
In his home country.
Yes.
He doesn't want any part of this.
Yeah. Mr. Yiz.
Chris, we'll bring this conversation back tonight when we do crosstalk. Well, Jizz Horn Camp.
There's only two things in this world I can't stand: people who are intolerant of other people's cultures and the Dutch.
Yes. The Dutch.
So. You can't say that.
The best movie that nobody's seen.
It's the best.
It's the best. We haven't piped her down.
No, you're getting your movies confused.
Oh, that's not So I Married an Expert.
You're Mike Myers.
You've got your Mike Myers movies mixed up. That's Michael Caine in the third Austin Powers movie. Yeah. That was the third one, I think, right? That Michael Caine was in?
They all kind of run together.
If you haven't seen So I Married an Axe Murderer, you got to watch.
Beyonce was number two, I believe.
Beyonce was in the second one. Yes, yeah. I think so. They're running together. They're so old. I can't remember.
When's the last time you actually sat down and watched an Austin Powers?
God, it's been a long time. It's been a while.
But if I Married an Axe Murderer was on, I'd sit down and watch.
Yeah, no, I'm saying it's probably worth the revisit for sure at this point because I can't remember the last time. And it's... There's something, too, to be said for movies that were so good, but you haven't watched in 5-10 years easy, because then you go back and you just forget all... You've probably forgotten a lot of how
funny
the moments actually are. So
I think you're right.
Worth a rewatch.
I think you're right.
God, you got me good. You got me good there, good kid.
What's happening on this Friday? You got football and football.
A lot of Bears news.
A lot of Bears. There. I mean, we played a bunch of Luke Getsy stuff.
Yeah, anytime the offensive coordinator speaks for this franchise, I think you want to listen.
With Tevin Jenkins, it doesn't sound like he's in their plans, no matter how they try to dance.
Well, I mean, Luke Getsy will have you believe that as soon as he gets back out there.
Yeah.
He took a different path than Eberflus.
Yeah, he did. Eberflus is like...
You guys, outside of the players, okay, and then long-term, if you look long-term, I think Ryan Poles is the most important person in your organization because he's in charge of procuring talent. But for the here and the now, I make an argument that Luke Getsy is the most important person in that building outside of Justin Fields.
Yeah, well,
because offensively... Yeah. It's got to make sense this year. Yes. Like, his role is so very vital. He's a first-time offensive coordinator. He's coming from a great system and a great organization. But as a first-time offensive coordinator, I mean, you could almost fall down and still do a better job than the previous coordinator. But if the goal here is to figure out who Justin Fields is, good, bad, or indifferent... Luke Getsy's got to put together a plan that makes sense for him.
Yeah, I hope he's capable. I think you're right. I mean...
Meller's lost already.
His eyes are on the back of his head as well.
That is not true.
Like, we were talking about this earlier, too. Like, if they do go out and surprise, and if they win 7, 8, 9 games... Like, 9 would be a surprise, let's put it that way,
that was interesting.
9 would be a surprise.
It was interesting, the call you had... I thought it was Fat Mike. Like, 10 wins... For the Bears making the playoffs or
being awful and having a high pick.
10 wins. Like, listen, 10 wins is a different conversation than we've really had, though. Like, if they win 10 games,
well, that means your quarterback is making a huge difference.
If they win 8 games, I think we might say, hey, man, feels like he's getting it.
Well, not just that, Carm, but also, you know what it'll be? It'll be a product of a lot of things that you weren't expecting to be good that are better. The guys they drafted, it means Braxton Jones probably settles in as a competent left tackle. It means that Cole Kmet has taken another step. It means Brisker and Gordon are probably contributing. And if you get to that number, it means that this crew has a better feel for things than...
And probably you found a third offensive weapon that's reliable, whether it be somebody like Pringle or Jones or Harry. Or Harry. I was just going there. Listen, while I'm looking at the offensive skill positions and not very impressed at the names on the roster right now, I'm willing to admit that I'll be wrong and happily wrong if someone shows that
there are guys in this league that you don't know who they are. Mm-hmm. You didn't expect something from them that all of a sudden become – noticeable.
Yeah.
And that's just the nature of the league now, especially at the wide receiver position or even as like a so flex many, tight end.
Yeah, I mean, you get, like, there's so much talent at that position. And I love N'Keal Harry coming out of college.
Who was the kid?
It just didn't work in the
league. Yeah, I did too. I liked him too.
Some way to make it work.
Who was the kid that played this year at Detroit who had a really good year?
St. Brown.
Yes. I mean, where was he drafted last year?
I think he was a little higher. Yeah. I feel like he was like a second or a third rounder.
I'm guessing he was a second. Okay,
let me check.
Yes, but my point is that
we have the second best St. Brown in the division.
What if Velus Jones is that guy?
Sure, that'd be great.
That's my point is
that'd be nice.
You can find a third round pick like that.
That'd be great.
Or a guy who's in his second or third year that's finally getting an opportunity, and maybe that guy can be one of those.
Amon-Ra St. Brown was a fourth round pick.
Fourth round pick.
Great.
That'd be great.
If Velus Jones can be him.
Totally. Sign me up. Yeah. I agree with you. 100%.
Like that, I think that's the one position these days that you can maybe overlook, and somebody can raise up. And
there's just so much talent at that position now. These guys are so good athletically. They're all playing in these up tempo, high powered spread offenses. You're seeing it in the NFL now. They're ready to contribute. There's just so much natural talent,
And they're all dependent upon a quarterback to feed them.
Well, sure,
they got to have a quarterback that's going to feed them for them to be successful. Yeah.
Well, and to that point, though, if the Bears find their way into 8, 9, 10 wins this year, you have to imagine that Justin Fields has shown some level of competency to where what we're talking about, you know, all these talented,
I agree,
at least in terms of skill, what they bring to the table. You know, there's no denying. And N'Keal Harry physically has a lot of ability. There's a reason why he was a first-round pick.
Yes.
He dominated that senior year.
I love the idea of taking flyers on players with pedigree.
Yes.
Yeah. I agree, but I would set my expectation level for him at a very reasonable spot.
With this roster, the opportunity is going to be there for him to show. And it's a 1 year for me. It's go out and prove it, see what you're capable of, and you're having a new
optimism.
Fresh start.
But at the moment, I still look at them as a 5, 6, or 7 win.
Me too.
But that now, if that's where
I got them at 9-8, boys.
Boy, I think
9-8.
That'd be impressive.
That's a change, isn't it? When did that revelation hit you?
I'm a little bit more rosy. I went through the schedule. I went through it. I looked at it and I analyzed
it. The schedule.
And with Jimmy Garoppolo not in San Francisco, that first game becomes very
winnable.
Very winnable
for sure.
Yeah. And then you get off to a good start. You start believing in yourself. Say, hey we're
self.
Better than we think we are.
Hey, Sil.
Let's go. Let's get it done.
I will say this, though, that the 49ers are still a better football team than us in 95% of the categories.
I would agree with you.
I may take the points, but still bet.
I'll take the points.
But bet the 49ers on the money line.
Except maybe at the most important position on the field.
Quarterback.
Which is the guy that puts his hands under the center's little guy.
Well, we don't know.
That's what I'm talking about.
Well, we don't know,
but they definitely don't have a decided advantage.
Do we?
If they had Jimmy Garoppolo back
then. Well, that may be
true. Okay, well, thank you.
You're very welcome.
You're welcome. And I think they all agree with you and with me that they tell you if Jimmy G was there, that's definitely a playoff team in San Francisco. Without Jimmy G, they don't know. It's an enigma. It's a puzzle.
Listen,
they
I'm
can't
with
figure
you.
It out, Tommy.
But what I've seen from Trey Lance would scare the hell out of me if I was a 49er fan.
Yeah.
Because you have to have touch and feel.
Whoa.
And the what I saw, and it's obviously a tiny sample size, he was throwing medicine balls.
Yeah.
He throws heaters when you need to throw change-ups. He throws change-ups when you need to throw heaters.
Yeah.
Like, you're a wide receiver. You're confused as hell, and you're praying to God that he didn't get you killed last year in the preseason and the times when he stepped in.
How much do we believe in Shanahan, though? I mean, like, why?
Oh, I believe in Shanahan. Totally. I'm not so sure that this was Shanny's guy.
That's the question.
Well,
we had the conversation. Yeah, yeah, we did this a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, we did briefly. Chris Sims was Shanny's
roommate
in college, right?
Correct.
And before the draft,
soon as the 49ers made the deal,
I remember this. Meller told me this story.
As soon as the 49ers unloaded those draft picks to obtain the second overall pick, there was a lot of speculation. Remember that the guy they were moving up for was
Mac Jones.
And then, sure enough, Chris Sims came out and, I don't know if he reported or just put together a mock draft where he had the 49ers taking Mac Jones. Then, all of a sudden, the day of the draft, I think, that it started to shift. And there was questions about, well, was it going to be Mac Jones or was it going to be Trey Lance? And I'm sorry, did they move up for the third pick?
I think it was the third pick.
So, and that's where, you know, the conversation started circulating around, well, what did they move up for? Did they know they were going after Mac Jones? Did they know they were going after Trey Lance? what was the whole, you know, everything surrounding this? And what if, speculation was think, that,
yeah.
Because listen,
I think Shanny could work with anybody.
You can't tell me that John Lynch superseded Kyle Shanahan. Because we know, like, we know that John Lynch, the reason he was hired was because Kyle Shanahan
like,
proved
there's
it.
There's no way. Right?
So if.
What if he used his relationship with Chris Sims to make sure nobody was on the scent that he wanted Trey Lance? That he just used his friend and
he
said,
used
hey.
Them.
Not even used him. He probably told him, like, Chris, I need you to say, well, mock us that we're taking Mac Jones. Because he wanted nobody to know.
Maybe so.
I just find it hard to believe he's got so much power and influence in that organization. How could this not be his guy? But
we know that Kyle Shanahan, for the most part, calls the shots. There is still one man, though, who has more power than Kyle Shanahan.
The owner?
Dwight York.
Jed.
Jed York.
Yeah. Dwight.
Dwight's his brother.
Yeah.
Dwight Yoakam. I don't know.
Dwight Yoakam.
But either way, I'm just telling you that. Wow. That Shanahan could mold anything.
Yeah,
I'm with Johnny at this point. I don't know who Trey Lance is going to be, but my guess is he's going to be ultra raw early on.
Yeah.
So
it's a winnable game for the Bears in that opener.
Well, yeah. I mean, you're playing a better team.
Sure. Like,
the San Francisco defense is a better defense with more dominant players.
Yes.
Their offensive line is better than our offensive line. Debo Samuel is better than any of our offensive guys.
Their play caller.
George Kittle's better than Cole Kmet.
Yes. Well, that's true.
You could play running back for them and succeed.
Anything's possible. We beat the Bengals out here on the lakefront.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, we did.
But if you're going to, you know, make a wager on the money line, you're probably still betting the Niners, aren't you?
Yeah, I'll gladly take the points, like you said.
It's like 5.5, isn't it?
6.5.
6.5.
But I wish you had got
that. That gets back to the question, if you're asking me, do I want the Bears to end up with a 2 or 3 win season versus a 5 or 6 win season?
Give me
the
Then I'll take the 2.
That's what I'm saying.
Of course.
Yes. Give me the 2 or 3 win season.
Yes. Yeah, I'll take that too.
Because 6.
5 is, yeah, I mean, you're right. I mean, like.
6 wins is really is, worse than no man's land because you're putting yourself in a position where you're probably picking 9th.
Yeah. If they go 9-8, there's a chance you sneak in with the extra wild card.
Of course. Yep. Extra wild.
I'm not surprised. Yeah.
And I think that the guy that Chris and Adam had on the other night, was talking about. Were you guys playing that?
I always say shots because it's spelled shots. But it's shots, right?
Yes, yeah. Careful.
Aaron
careful.
Shots,
Shats yeah. Creek.
I love Football Outsiders. They do great work.
But I think he said their simulations that they ran had them in the postseason 20%.
30. I think he said roughly 30. Yeah.
That's aggressive.
Yeah,
I was shocked to hear
so
that.
So what I need is, and for I should have looked this up. Where is that in relation to every other single team in the NFC? Like, what is the percentage that someone like, for instance? Washington is making the playoffs. Yeah. Or give me the
Carolina,
what's Detroit's number?
Detroit. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Because their number has to be very low.
Let's
right?
go through this real quick, okay? Let's go through a little exercise here. Who gets to the postseason before? I mean, we've only played one preseason game. In the NFC. Cowboys and Eagles.
I think the Eagles are terrific.
I wonder about the quarterback.
Terrific.
Their roster's pretty good.
It is.
They got a Super Bowl roster. Yeah. I don't know about the quarterback, but I think they're winning that division.
Coach. Wait. I'll push back on Super Bowl roster. When Hurts is your quarterback, you do not have a Super Bowl roster. But that's the point. Is he's the most important part on the roster?
Well, everything else,
has a lot of questions.
I'm telling you, like
surrounding
their line, AJ Brown, Smith. Their defense,
Devontae Smith.
Everything about
Goddard.
One team out of the South, Tampa Bay.
Tampa Bay?
Well, Tampa for sure. Probably the Cowboys and the Eagles. The Packers.
Maybe the Saints.
Packers for no.
Maybe.
Maybe depends on the Rams.
No.
So what do we got? Six?
That's six.
Wait. You put in the Eagles.
I did. I think the Eagles are a playoff. I'd be stunned.
I think. Yeah.
I think they're really good.
I think the Eagles. If they don't win the East, they would be high on your list for wild.
I'm intrigued by the Vikings now that Zimmer's
too.
Gone.
I am too.
I am too. Go ahead and roast me. I think Kirk Cousins with Kevin O'Connor running
will
things.
Be a better player.
The two of us are, Meller and I are on the same page here. And I said it to Yurko today, and he almost fell out of his chair. I said, what if I tried to sell you on the Vikings to win the division? Just as an, like, purely your
odds are
so much better. They're like.
Their defense will be better this year.
I think everything's going to be better.
And I hate Cousins.
Yeah.
But that offense, dude, I'm telling you.
As long as they can protect him and they don't ask him to stand back there. Because he's got happier feet than anybody. We got a goal. We have an Arsenal goal.
Woo!
There you go.
First goal of the Premier League season, my friends.
I don't know if I can buy that, but I wouldn't.
Who do we have?
Wouldn't buy it hard.
Like, looks like Jesus.
Three straight.
Or no, is that Martinelli? Gabriel Martinelli, the Brazilian.
Three straight 13-win seasons for the Packers. Like, When is some regression?
Yeah.
Bakhtiari, Elkton Jenkins is hurt. They're coming back from injury. No more Davante Adams.
Yeah.
So the Vikings' odds to win the division plus 265.
That's what I thought. It was like around 3-1. And it's so much, and you're laying money on the Packers, obviously.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm with Mellor. Like, I think a sneaky dark horse could be that the Vikings are pretty good this year.
Yeah. I mean, listen,
their offensive weaponry is
even in bad years, Cook. They're a 500 team, right? I mean, yeah. they're a 9-7 team when they were playing a 16-game schedule. The one story in the NFC that you may need to keep an eye on more than anything at this point is Matthew Stafford's elbow.
Yeah, how about that?
We didn't really get to that today.
That's something we're going to discuss later.
He's having like Tommy John issues, you know?
They're calling it, it's unnatural.
Yeah,
an unnatural elbow
injury for a quarterback.
Absolutely. That
doesn't sound good.
No, not at all. And now Sean McVay.
Maybe they trade for Jimmy Garoppolo.
Ooh, how amazing would that be? That'd be something.
They don't have the money, do they? Well, like,
Cisco's not trading inside the division?
Apparently they do. No, they wouldn't.
They're going to cut him. If they can't find a deal, they're going to cut him because it saves them $25 million.
If I'm every team in the league, I don't do anything.
Yeah.
I don't do anything. No. I forced San Francisco to move.
How about this? They cut Jimmy Garoppolo because no one will trade for him because they know that they can save money. What if the Rams sign him?
I'm going to stick
it to the 49ers. I'll take less money to go to the Rams because Matthew Stafford's a little banged up. And I will play the first 6 weeks of the season until Stafford comes back just because I want to win a Super Bowl.
Listen, that's a juicy theory or a juicy narrative to play out that way. I would envision, though, right now that he will end up in Cleveland.
Yeah, that's what I would think.
As on a six-game, it's not going to be six.
Eight? Season?
I bet you it ends up being a season.
Okay. So,
Deshaun, yeah.
All right. So, yeah, that's why Cleveland makes a lot of sense.
For a placeholder for one year?
Yep.
And then Jimmy gets to prove.
No, I'm with you, but if they'd have to trade for him otherwise, doesn't Jimmy get the right to pick where he wants to go?
No, I'm saying Jimmy will pick
Cleveland.
That's
what he'll pick.
Because it'll be an open spot where he'll have the opportunity. See,
if he's got inside information, maybe the Stafford thing is really severe and maybe he doesn't. Right. Maybe they're concerned he can't play at all.
Wow. That'd be a big development.
Just say again.
That'd be a big development. All right, boys. What's up on the show?
All right, boys. Peggy Kaczynski will join us at 3 o'clock. She is out covering the Bears, and she's peppering everybody with all the questions that need to be asked.
Yeah. She's great.
We're listening to Luke Getsy press conference and hearing Peggy. Well, yeah. But we're hearing Peggy pepper them with questions.
Did she swear on the air the other day?
She didn't swear, but she's just, you know.
Yeah.
And then, Peggy's the best.
Yeah. She's great.
So she's going to join us at 3 o'clock, give us an update on Bears camp. Connor McKnight, who joined you guys, will join us at 5:30. Give us
baseball team of yours,
for the pregame as the Sox take on the Rangers.
I know. See you tonight. That's the good news. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Yeah,
Waddle and Sylvia next. We'll see you Monday.
Chicago's home for sports is on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago today.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvia on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Randy Houser to start the Friday. Good work over there.
Yeah.
With the Windy City Smokeout taking place tonight.
Yeah, it's going to be a hot ticket to get. Hope you can find one.
I think tonight there are tickets available. Tomorrow night sold out. I believe Tim McGraw is the feature act. My daughter, my youngest daughter, who's on a concert tour of her own, is going tonight.
Does she have a bus where she just goes from city to city?
I think she does, yeah.
That's excellent.
I see her very frequently, and then three weeks from now she'll be gone to college, so... What's gonna happen?
Hey man,
it's gonna happen.
Live your best life. Nothing wrong with that. Tim McGraw, is he just what? Is he killing life or what?
He is.
He's like,
yes,
winning.
He's winning. He's winning life,
Mr. Winner.
Yes, I mean he. As the show came out, what was it? 18. What was it? 1880 something.
Oh, yeah,
whatever it was.
18.
I forget the number.
Yeah, I know.
Whatever it was. It was the prequel to Yellowstone.
Yes.
He and Faith Hill were fantastic in that series.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, unbelievable. Yeah, so he's living his best life.
Yeah, so featured act tomorrow night.
1880, and, whatever. Hold on. Let me see.
1881.
Tim McGraw. Talk about
1883.
There you go. We knew we'd close.
We had a chance. You're lost. You're a hot mess because you're watching a soccer game. Which isn't even being played by one of your favorite teams.
You're, right.
You're a Liverpool guy,
no,
right?
No, you're right. It's a top six
club. So basically the Lions are playing the Chargers right now, and you can't keep your eyes focused on anything other than the television screen.
It doesn't help that the lighting kind of sucks, so I have to kind of really squint my eyes to see it because the lighting's definitely interfering with the TVs. But yes, the Premier League has begun for Arsenal and Crystal Palace tomorrow. My favorite team, Liverpool, will get things underway at 6:30.
Or you wake up early for that?
I will, actually, yes, for the first game of the year. I will. So, but we will focus on the Bears here because I know most people aren't really into the Premier League like I am. So the Bears and training camp is underway. And of course, the OC, Luke Getsy, had
I was interested in hearing what he had to say. Is this the first time, maybe the second time he's talked since camp began?
I think it's the second, the third.
But at least the second,
Okay, but now he's got. You've got several practices under their belts that he can give you some information and some evaluation on.
And you, when you walked in, or when I walked in today, you, one of the first things you said to me was the offense and how it was matched up against.
Yeah, I mean, I it was unusual. This is the first time I've really ever heard that this early in a training camp where the offense would be playing against a scout team. Now, and I think I read that they were facing some 3-4 defenses, or they had the scout team was lining up in some 3-4s because those are the defenses that a couple of the teams in the league play. I believe the Vikings will employ a 3-4, and I think also the Packers to some degree. Whatever the case may be, the fact that the offense is working against a scout team group, I would ask the question, I don't know if anyone asked the question, was it by designed so that the offense could actually get some stuff done? Because as we've been told by people up there on a consistent basis, the defense has owned the day.
Yes.
Or the days.
Well, Luke Getsy was asked why the offense, the first team offense, is playing against the scout team. This was his answer.
Yeah, the biggest thing for us is we got two teams in our division that play a three down, and our defense doesn't. So that's really the biggest thing that when you're talking about the big guys up front, everything changes in your rules and assignments when you have three downs. So you got to mix that in. If we were the other way, if we had a three down defense, we'd have to scout team for some four down stuff. So
as you suspected,
they're already putting together game plans. It sounds like, look, I'm not down on that. My wise ass remark to you was it got so bad for them, they needed a pick me up. So they basically, instead of going against the first team defense that is kicking their ass, they're going to go against the scout team.
Yeah, you got
to
keep your away from Jaquan Brisker, apparently, these days. So
I mean, look, that's just me being a wise guy. But
well, listen.
But they've got a plan. That's the one thing, Jeff, and I mentioned it to PB when he was in yesterday, that I don't know if the plan's going to work. I have no idea. And I know that there have been some bumps. There were a couple of arrests in the offseason, which stick to the general manager who was in charge of signing these guys. I get all of that. They've stayed with the plan. They did it in the draft when everyone was howling about, you got to get Justin Fields more protection and more weapons in the huddle. They drafted a cornerback and a safety because those two players were the highest rated players on their board at the time. It was their turn to pick.
Yes.
They've decided to take this route. Whatever is going on with Roquan Smith, I think they've handled it. For a first-year crew, I think they've handled it okay. I don't know any of the particulars. Is Roquan asking for too much? Are they lowballing him? Do they want to see him play? They're not interested in giving him a contract extension. I have no idea. But it doesn't seem to be acrimonious. It doesn't seem to be contentious. And even the Tevin Jenkins thing, which is very odd, and he hasn't practiced in 6 or 7 days.
Yes. I believe we're at a week now, over
that
7 days.
That hasn't even, it doesn't seem to be contentious.
So here, we'll let Luke Getsy give us a little bit more. He was asked in particular, are you satisfied with the progress of the offense so far?
So I feel pretty good about where we're at. These last few practices have been awesome because we've done a lot more not scripted practices. So, you know, Flew's done a great job of throwing different situations at the guys and us substituting from the sideline and the crowd noise, you know, with the music and everything. All that stuff. So, I mean, you know, with the young team, we can't do that stuff enough. So I feel all that operational stuff's got to improve. But I feel pretty good about where we're at right now.
So there you go. Some optimism from the OC.
I still hold out hope, too, that there will be progress made that is organic because the plan makes sense. And the coach, albeit his first time to do this, he understands or will understand how to get his guys in a position to take advantage of what they do well. the very simple things.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to ask Justin Fields to sit behind a faulty protection call.
Yeah.
You're going to design plays. If you've got a, you know, you've got a weakness in one particular spot on your offensive line, you're going to help with a back or a tight end, or you're going to roll the quarterback out. I think there's a chance that you could get some natural organic progress, even though your roster isn't anywhere close to being complete.
And to that point, we were talking a little bit too about Tevin Jenkins, where he's at. You think right now, let it play out, but you're not overly concerned about the way they're handling this?
No, I'm not, until I hear differently. Look, I don't know what it is. Is Tevin Jenkins' feelings hurt that he wasn't just gifted a job? I mean, Braxton Jones has been their left tackle
yes.
for the majority of the snaps and now has taken every snap. He's their fifth-round draft pick from this year.
At this point, I would be surprised if he's not your opening day starter at left tackle based on the way it's played out 1 week into, you know,
right.
through seven practices.
That's Tevin Jenkins' feelings hurt. They, you know, they signed Riley Reiff. They gave him money. Larry Borum, I think, has actually been given more opportunities, albeit in you know, off-season situations than Tevin. I have no idea what is going on, but they're not out there pushing him under, you know, in front of the bus.
Yeah, we either need a few more leaks to let us know a little bit more insight about what's going on with Tevin Jenkins.
I think when we talk to Peggy, Peggy's got great sources.
She does.
And good insight, so.
And you know what? To that point, I believe Peggy was the one who pressed Luke Getsy on where exactly Tevin Jenkins fits in.
Yeah, he's going to get thrown right into the mix of this competition at the tackles, too. I mean, that's the... Yeah, I mean, this is an open right, left, whatever. We're trying to find the best five, you know, so... when he gets back, he's someone who's, you know, super talented that should jump in there, and hopefully he takes advantage of the opportunities he's going to get.
Is there a role he can work on outside of that? If those spots become solidified, then Tevin would be vying for what?
No, I mean, he should be vying for a starting spot right now. I mean, you know, 2 or 3 weeks from now, we can have that conversation, but he should be doing everything he can to own one of those two spots. There's no question about that.
So maybe right there you hear Luke Getsy sending a little bit of a message. Again, this is just trying to interpret what he's telling us publicly. Now, that was Jason Leisure with the question. Then Peggy, this does not contain Peggy's question, but she asked directly, has Tevin Jenkins been an active participant of Luke Getsy?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Tevin's been great. He's been attentive. He's all in. Yeah. Once he gets through this deal, he'll be back out there ready to rock and roll.
What is this deal? It needs to be defined. But like I said, it doesn't sound like, at least from the offensive coordinator, that they're tossing him under the bus.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know,
Matt Eberflus has been a little bit more cryptic when he's been asked directly about Tevin Jenkins.
I agree with that. I think we talked about this upstairs as well. Look, I don't think it doesn't seem like there's any rush, and they should be patient. See what there is. If, in fact, they are looking to move him, see what's available out there to get in return. If you're getting a conditional seventh-round pick, I mean, like, at this point, I don't know that you're making that deal. I don't think that they're in a rush to do something like that.
And at this point, that's, I think, a fair conclusion to draw because he's still on the roster, even though he's not participating. I do want to see how this plays out. I'm hopeful that he will be on the roster come the start of this season. At the very least, then, you just kind of see how this season plays out for him. I don't think they need to be, you know, I know Yurko has talked quite a bit about, listen, if Tevin Jenkins is displaying some type of attitude issue that this regime does not like, I understand wanting to jettison him from the roster, but I'm just hopeful in terms of asset management. He's a second-round pick who was injured for a good deal of last year, so we really haven't seen a whole lot from him, and the league hasn't seen a whole lot from him. I would think, based on the draft pedigree alone, you should be able to recoup a fourth-round pick if you need to move him this year.
Yeah, well, I mean,
otherwise, don't do it.
We're all speculating, but what if? What if?
Mm-hmm.
It's pure speculation. He's just refusing to practice. Don't know that's the case.
You're right, yes.
If he's refusing to practice, then, like, I got to tell you, my patience would run thin. Like, why? Because I'm not guaranteeing you a spot? Like, everything's up for grabs right now. This is professional football.
Yes.
Like, everybody's going to compete at this point. Again, I don't know that's the case. Tevin Jenkins actually texted or tweeted it out on his Twitter account that don't believe what you're hearing. Whatever the case may be.
That would be, to me, sorely disappointing. See, if that were the case, if Tevin Jenkins were at a point where he was refusing to practice because of his position on the depth chart, I mean, that'd be absurd to me. For listen, it's, you know, everything's on the table because we haven't gotten much from anybody outside of he woke up with something.
That's why it's hard to develop an opinion on what they should do with him. Because you don't know what the genesis of him not being out on the field is.
That's why I keep throwing out these caveats here. But the reality to me is, if for a team that I look at, and I was blown away by ESPN.com having them ranked as the 11th best offensive line. Did you see that today?
I did not. I heard that. That's obviously because they signed Riley Reiff and they Schofield.
Well, what has Riley Reiff proven in his career?
Riley Reiff was last year was a right tackle, not a left tackle for Cincinnati. I believe Joe Burrow was the most sacked quarterback in the league.
A team that went to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I think Riley Reiff is a
serviceable,
solid veteran.
Yeah.
That makes you better than maybe what you had, but
sure, but
not doesn't vault you into the top third of the offensive lines in the league, in my opinion.
So when I look at this roster that I look at right now as bereft of established NFL talent, I'll put it that way, for an offensive line, I think Tevin Jenkins, at the very least, you just ride it out this year, at the very least, and see what you got. And you know what?
If he's not a problem, but if in fact, again, like that's why I'm with you. I don't have a problem with your assertion as long as
he's not being a malcontent in the locker room.
Well, just, yeah. I mean, why isn't he practicing?
Again, we can't really see.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I can't sit here and tell you that the right thing to do is just to keep him in the fold. And if somebody gets hurt, put him in because he was a second round pick without knowing why he's not practicing now.
So it would be nice to get a little bit of clarity.
Yeah. I think we heard too that didn't they ask Getsy about whether or not they are starting to find or settle in on their five offensive linemen combo?
Yes, yes. Here's Luke Getsy responding to that.
Where are you in terms of assessing your options for that starting offensive line? And do you see yourself kind of getting closer to solidifying the group you might want to see out there?
No. No, I think we're still a ways away for a lot of positions, to be honest with you, and that's one of them. You know, we've flipped guys from right to left and up front, and we're trying to see whatever combination makes the most sense and which guys are most flexible for us. So we got a lot of information still to find out. This has been a really good week for us, though. You talk about some guys that have stepped up and, you know, how they're going to react when there's pads and in a run game. That's the biggest part. I think that they've done a lot of really good things, so. This was a great practice for us, too, because this was the first time we challenged them, like, conditioning-wise. We really went at it today, and I thought that was a really good thing. Well, as we watch the film, that'll be something I'm going to pay attention to see who was, you know, who lost their focus, who lost their discipline and all that stuff when they got challenged today.
And I believe Cole Kmet at some point met the media today as well and actually said, I saw this on Twitter, I was reading some of his quotes, that this was the most difficult, most physical practice he had ever been a part of at any level.
I think Darnell Mooney and Eddie Jackson confirmed the same thing pretty much.
Not going to say I don't hate that. I like it.
Shades of Lovie Smith's first training camp, right?
Yes.
Weeding out the people who maybe aren't in the best condition. If you're a team that, you know, has the hits principle and doesn't want every play to have mistakes, I could see why.
Set the
tone.
You
might see this.
Set the tone.
Early on. Our training camp coverage on ESPN 1000 is brought to you by your Chicagoland Midas franchisees. All right, your turn to weigh in on the Bears training camp. What you heard from Luke Getsy right there, Bears OC, first-year OC, Luke Getsy. Weigh in, 312-332-3776. We've also got Peggy Kaczynski coming up at 3 o'clock. She'll give us her thoughts on what she's heard from the Bears coaching staff over the last few days. And, of course, Waddle. It's a free ticket Friday.
Oh, yeah, you got to get your Sox ticket.
Absolutely. Sox Astros tickets coming your way very soon.
Waddle and Sylvie, weekdays, 2 to 6.
Follow on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87. ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
White Sox! White Sox! Go, go, White Sox!
Let's go, 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 White Sox.
Oh, it is Tom
Waddle.
Get
Waddle's. 2 runs against a Royals team. Oh, no, I'm sorry, the Rangers. Rangers.
It is Tom Waddle's favorite time of a Friday. It is a free ticket Friday, of course, brought to you by Miller Lite and FanDuel. I've got a pair for the White Sox and Astros. I've got a pair of White Sox tickets. I've also got a pair for you, Mr. Jizz Hornkamp over there.
What?
I've got a pair of tickets to White Sox and Astros for Monday, August 15th. And you know what the pitching probable matchup for that is right now?
McCullers versus Cease.
Not even close.
Is McCullers even back?
No, he's not.
He had his arm rebuilt, didn't he?
But even better, Justin Verlander is slated to go against no.
Johnny Cueto.
Johnny Cueto.
Not the even White better.
Sox. Yes.
No, Dylan Cease is so much better than Johnny Cueto.
You know what? He might be, but Johnny Cueto is more consistent. He's got more quality starts than any starting pitcher in the White
but
Sox
if you're,
rotation.
If you're giving the ball to someone in a must-win game, who are you giving it to?
Johnny Cueto.
No, you're not. Now you're just being an ass.
If you're going to a game, who do you want to see? Johnny Cueto.
No chance. I want to see Dylan Cease.
Are you kidding
Why?
Me?
Because he stopped with his delivery?
Herky jerky Johnny Cueto.
He's so many times there.
Dude, Johnny Cueto, Mr. Baseball, covering third base last night.
I love Johnny Cueto. Former
Red. Him from your Reds.
Former Red. I love him. But like, you can't tell me that if you're starting a game that you have to win.
You know what? I didn't give out a number, did I, Tyler?
No, because you're dumb.
Well, I may be dumb, but I'll give out caller number 7 right now. Gets a pair of White Sox tickets for the Sox-Astros on August 15th. Of course, brought to us by Miller Lite and FanDuel.
You're just being a funny guy. There's no way if it's, your life's depending on it.
Yeah.
Sox have to win.
No.
Your life depends on it.
Different question.
Your life depends on it.
Yes. I went.
Who you giving the ball to?
Correct. Dylan Cease. However,
okay, but
you asked who I'd rather watch.
Okay.
Johnny Cueto. He's fun to watch. Pitch. That's why.
Why? Because he.
Yeah, he's got them. You never know what's coming, man. That's why he keeps the hitters off.
Look
balance.
Over here. Loud noises and flashing lights.
I'm clinging to the good part of the White Sox season. Oh, Johnny Cueto is it.
What about those 5 hits last night? The 2 runs
one of the 5 was your favorite?
You tell me. Which one of those 2 soft runs that were the result of the Rangers kicking the ball all over the field?
Was my favorite? The second one.
They actually took 6 walks, too, last night, which is so abnormal for them.
We were
still lost.
How about we were talking before the game started yesterday about how they finally had the lineup in place, ready to go.
Yeah.
They had a lefty on the mound.
Yeah.
It was setting them nice. The White Sox were finally going to win.
First Major League Baseball start from whatever his name
was. What is his face? They were finally going to get their first win of a series in forever. Nope.
But that did not happen.
But again, if you do not win right now, don't forget we've still got 3 more chances for you to secure a pair of free tickets to the White Sox and Astros. And also, courtesy of Miller Lite tonight, you can win Sox tickets from 6 to 8 p.m. at Morgan's Bar and Grill in Libertyville, Chasers and Niles, and Zubar and Grill in Brookfield. So if you want another chance to win some White Sox tickets, make sure you are out and about today, and you can have a chance to win them. All right, well, as we were talking about Bears, I want to slip in a caller here. Let's try Marcus in Minneapolis, who's been patient. Marcus, you're on Waddle and Sylvie Mellor in for Sylvie today. What's up, man?
What's up, Jeff? I want to ask you, I guess, I don't know if it's a question or a statement. So I was thinking about the Bears. I've seen the Bears for the division win a division. They were a plus 900. I'm actually thinking about betting it because call me crazy, but I don't see why. Of course, I don't think the Bears should be the favorites, but I don't see why everybody's so high on Green Bay. Aaron Rodgers gets injured every year. If he misses a stretch of 4 games, for instance, I don't think they don't have Devontae Adams anymore. He doesn't have the weapons. We're just assuming that they're still going to have this great offense. I don't think the Packers are 13-14 like that guaranteed anymore. So they could be, you know, middling like the 10-game thing. And if the Bears can somehow get some, at the beginning of this schedule, get some wins in, and the Vikings, like you guys mentioned earlier, this could be a close race. So what do you guys, think I'm crazy? I'm thinking about betting at plus 900.
Listen, it's Marcus, it's value. I mean, I wouldn't do it, but, you know, I mean, I've seen crazier bets come true. Look, Aaron Rodgers only played 16 of the 17 games last year, but the prior 3 seasons he played 16, 16, 16. He only played 7 in 2017. He doesn't usually miss
was
games.
Was that the Shane McClanahan year?
Could have been, yeah.
Or was that the Anthony Barr?
That was
the Anthony Barr shoulder.
Could be. Whatever the case may be, he's been a pretty durable guy. I wouldn't be betting on
I agree.
Aaron Rodgers.
Missing
look, it's
one game won't really...
It's a defense that is pretty damn good.
Yes,
it's an offensive line that's got some hurt guys. I don't know what the status of their line will be going forward. They run the football well.
Yeah.
He's an unbelievably good quarterback, top 5 of all time. I still have them. Marcus may be right. They may not win 13 or 14 games, but they're still the class of the NFC North.
Listen, Marcus, I think the value, to your point, like in the NFL, if they figure things out, it's a decent, you know, you're getting decent odds there. But the reality is I still like both Green Bay and Minnesota more than the Bears in their division.
Minnesota's so going to be better defensively.
I wouldn't love putting my money on it, but yeah. I think the value finally is actually in your favor as a Bears fan. Look, if you're optimistic.
You want to take a flyer on them at 9-1, have at it.
Throw a unit or two down, whatever your unit of choice is.
Again, I'm not one that believes that all of a sudden the Lions have vaulted them by leaps and bounds. I think that the Lions and the Bears will probably compete for the bottom spot in the division. But I don't think it's a certainty that the Lions are automatically going to be this, tremendously improved team.
That's Tom Waddle. I'm Jeff Meller in for Sylvie today on Waddle and Sylvie. Up next, Peggy Kaczynski gives us her reaction to everything she's seen from Bears training camp so far, right here on ESPN 1000.